Hey, hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 960. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. What is up, good sir?
I am doing just fine, and I know I am doing better than Doc Rivers and Donald Sterling on that new FX show that hit today, Clipped.
Okay, so it was that fresh.
It dropped to today. Like, I knew it was coming out, and I was watching Hulu, and all of a sudden my Hulu feed, it was like, oh, Clip, first two episodes. And I was like, I know I'm going to watch. And I won't talk too long about it. I would just say, if you watch The People versus O.J. Simpson or any of those FX, you know, dramatic series, you kind of know where it goes. I would just say, without spoiling it, seeing Ed O'Neill as Donald Sterling and Lawrence Fishburne as Doc Rivers is just taking me out, because I watched the first 10 minutes. I had to laugh about 8 or 9 times. Like, Lawrence Fishburne plays Doc Rivers like Morpheus combined with Ike Turner.
Yeah, I feel like both of those guys just kind of stay in their lane at this point.
I mean, it works. Like, it's just, it's hilarious. Like, doctors gets there, he's just so damn exasperated. Like, what is going on? And Ed O'Neill somehow makes Donald Sterling more likable and a worse human being. I don't know how he does that.
Oh, man. Yeah, Ed O'Neill's great.
Yeah, he's great. And it's like, I knew the story. And it's just wild, like, it's been such a long time ago, because I remember when it happened, and that was like, yeah. Oh,
yeah, I'm sitting here going, this is probably longer ago than I really want to remember.
It had to have been, I want to say, 8 years? 10 years?
Okay, yeah. I was wondering if it's early 10s sometime. It was,
yeah, early, I want to say early mid-10s. Like, the whole thing started because Donald Sterling was jealous of Magic Johnson. And it just went downhill from there. Boy, so I won't, like, if you know the story about Donald Sterling, you know what happened. So I won't go into it. It's a dramatized version, but it is hilarious. Like, I know it's not supposed to be a comedy, but I couldn't help just laughing because it is just so batshit crazy.
Things have certainly been batshit crazy on NXT, sir. I didn't get to talk about this last week. You didn't either. And really, we had the continuation tonight that I have not tuned into. But Jordynne Grace popped up on our TV screens last week.
Yes, like, because the show that Sexy Red host that was a guest on, which is insane in its own right, because as we have talked about, wrestling is kind of like cool again, and wrestling's getting talked about in like circles that it normally wasn't getting talked about. But still, seeing Sexy Red be on the timeline tweeting about NXT kind of took people for surprise, because it's like, her watching wrestling is not surprising. Her being a fan of NXT and following the storylines was very surprising, because it's kind of like, it's NXT. Is NXT, she watches NXT, and you know, and then HBK is like, oh, you want to come? If you want to come, why don't you show up? And what does she do? She shows up, and without, you know, quick ratings, they had the highest ratings they had since the New Year's episode of 2024.
Okay. Well, did not check out the ratings, but
yes, and I was just laughing at the people that follow ratings, like, I don't know how that happened. It was against the playoffs and all this other stuff. But I don't know. So I'm like, a rap star with a very huge following was on that show. That's how it happened. Like, people just kind of laughing. Like, why are they doing this? It's like, WWE is not stupid. Like, they're not going
to. Like, yeah. They're not dumb. Her not being familiar to me is on me, you know what I mean? In this situation, I'm like you said, like, they're not going to bring someone on just for shits and giggles, really. Like, they're expecting some crossover promotion in these days.
Yeah, and it worked, because, you know, she has a following. Like, I don't listen to her music, but I know who she is. Like, she has a large following. And it's wild where I'm watching the show, and she just fits in organically on NXT. Like she didn't feel like she was nervous or like, you know, out of place. And we have talked about like representation, and I won't go too deep into it, but like NXT has definitely changed from how the Black and Gold era portrayed themselves to now. But seeing a picture of Sexy Red, Trick Williams, and Javon Evans in a tag match, and I'm like, if somebody told you this 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and it just felt normal, I mean, I'm just looking at this and I'm like, wow. like I just said, wow. Yeah. Like it just feels weird. And then she's on, and I will say this, I don't know if you saw some of the videos on the timeline on Twitter. Yeah, Shawn Michaels might have been saved, but he still got the HBK 98 energy in him, because he was flirting up a storm with Miss Red.
I did not see any of these interactions.
Just coming to get a picture, and he was like, you know, come to daddy, and did his little hands like this, and she all making and smiling, and they took a picture, and then she's in the car singing his theme, sitting in the car singing the theme song, and who's next to her? Him. Singing along. Triple H called Tito like, thank God he didn't start twerking. And all I had to say is, these two bozos are running the biggest wrestling company on the planet.
And doing a good job of it.
And of course, she's going to show up in Battleground, because it's like, it worked. And I don't know if you know this, like, it was a Japanese Joshi promotion over this past week. I had a show, and it wasn't Stardom, it wasn't Marigold, I didn't know the name of it, and Nick Konch was there, Norman Reedus and Stephen Yoon was there, who else, Nut Glorilla was there, and people was like, what are all these women rappers showing up at these indie wrestling shows all of a sudden? And I'm like, I just laughed, because I remember when Cardi B wanted to show up at SummerSlam, and Lacey Evans basically scared all, talking about, we need real stars. You ain't a bigger star than me. You need to stay in your lane. And they went back and forth on the timeline, and that was the end of Cardi B talking about showing up in wrestling. And I would just remember that and just kind of like, really, Lacey Evans just ruining the fun for everybody, of all the people we had, her.
And that's a rough one to ruin that fun.
Yeah, and I'm glad we've moved past that now, where it's kind of like you have people that are interested in wrestling, and all for, not just big name wrestling. They just like wrestling, and they're not ashamed to like wrestling. And it's kind of like, we used to joke about the NXT demographic, about how it was like people in their 50s and 60s. Like during the Black and Gold era, like it was like people that like, you know, Miss Jim Crockett promotions, because like Black and Gold was basically like a super indie.
Yes, it was,
and it was very entertaining, but there was always a limit to, like, you know, what is Adam Cole going to learn in developmental? It's like, what is Johnny, like, what are you going to teach Johnny Gargano? Like, nothing. Like, they're going to have great matches, but if, are you interested in having great matches? Are you interested in, like, you know, building the next group of superstars? And now they're interested in building superstars, and they have a balance of veterans and young people, and it's like, it's working. It's cool. No. Like NXT, I love WWE, and I watch all the shows, like the main three. NXT is my favorite one.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes the other two, Jeremy and Chris, struggle with what, to me, the phase that NXT is in right now, that seems to be honestly part of their cycle at this point, where they're just throwing a whole bunch of names at the wall right now. Like, they lost all their top stars to the main roster. And now it's time to see who the next top stars are. And it's kind of a wild time right now. Like, I'm going to enjoy seeing how everything sorts itself out moving forward here. I mean, there are a couple of early people that seem pretty destined to be stars that are on the roster already.
I mean, the fact that he wasn't even on the radar, that Ethan Page just showed up at the end of that match, the end of the show last week, the basically Child Trick Williams was kind of like, it makes sense, but who guessed that? I wasn't even thinking. He was not on my radar at all. Like, I didn't hear anything. I wasn't thinking about him. And then he popped up. I'm like, I know that who I think it is. And then they announced him. That's Ethan Page from, you might be able to name other shows, but you can't name AEW just yet. But you know where he's from.
Yep, that's the only one that's not really getting a whole lot of talk. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely like a younger Sean Spears type of situation where that man has had so much experience, but he's going to be new to almost anyone watching NXT.
Yeah,
he's probably popular enough to get recognized, but also unfamiliar enough to be fresh.
Indeed. He fits in that Bobby Roode slot that they used to be perfect with. Like, they always had that one slot, the EC3 spot, the Bobby Roode spot, and even funny, the Drew McIntyre spot, where it's like somebody that's known, but you want to like reintroduce them to a crowd. And it works. I mean, and like I say, you want to have, people were I know you guys were wondering, like, who is Trick Williams going to fight? Because all his, adversaries and, contenders went to the main roster. Well, there you go.
I mean, there's that. And, I guess since him and Tony D are both baby faces, we've got to keep Tony D away from the World Heavyweight Championship scene, at least for a little bit here, which they've successfully done.
Yes, and it's like they're definitely building that with Tony D'Angelo. Like, he probably will be the next champion. I don't know when, but it's like the way how things look, it looks like, And sorry if I'm a little distracted. They're doing a Lola Vice promo for their match. And yes. So, but anyway, yes, okay. That's kind of like, wow.
Thank you, Booker Shahid.
But anyway, it's like Ethan Page is perfect for that spot because it's like you said, it's somebody that's known, but not somebody that's super famous. So it doesn't feel like he's slumming being in NXT. And it gives Trick Williams like something to do. And I'm looking forward to that match. It also fits in the storyline. Like, who is jumping metaphor? Him.
I mean, if they can, obviously they're just going to use his indie persona in NXT. Like, it does not feel like they're going to change a whole lot. And I mean, I saw some of the All Ego stuff. I did not see the Impact TNA, whatever it was named at that point, version of it. But it seems like a tried and true character that's going to be able to come through,
Yeah. And I like how they have embraced that, because it's funny. Like, I noticed that when Sean Spears came back, he came back as Sean Spears. He came back with a chair. He didn't come back as Todd Dillinger.
Oh.
Yeah. And he could have easily came back as Todd Dillinger. Would have made sense because that was his old name. It's like, y'all guys know him as Sean Spears. And we might as well, if it ain't broke, don't break it. So let's run what we have. And it's like, I like now the whole attitude is they're not in Sony Atella. They assume that their fans watch more than WWE, especially NXT fans. And it's like, you know who Ethan Page is. So why change anything?
I think that's another aspect where he has enough clout to be able to do that, I would think. You get one of these fresh faces out of I don't know what university. Like, what did they have, like some Arkansas cheerleader that they signed for an NIL deal? I'm just like, oh, come on, man.
Probably.
Stop it with all these mutant athletes. Come on.
But I mean, as one is just walking out now, I mean, that's the future now. It's funny because you were bringing up Kiana James. You was talking about her like you understand. And it's like, she's a funny thing where she's on the main roster and a lot of people probably don't really know her because she's one of those, a name but not a big name on NXT.
She won the tag gold with Fallon Henley.
Mm-hmm.
And that would really be her up, biggest moment, I would think.
And they didn't really have it that long. Like, she competed for the, like, she had title matches, but it all, like, I think she had, like, one single title match. And I think she had, like, multi-person title match. And there is Natalya and the Ninja on crutches. Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Croatian, Canadian ninjas injured.
Huh? Yeah. Yes, which is a shame. I hope it's not an ACL, because that's, boy, ACL just goes like swamps down there. But no, it's funny where you bring up like somebody like Kiana James, where it's a slow build. They got time, because it's like it's a funny thing to think about. LA Knight was, I mean, especially coming in as like, you know, Max Dupri didn't help, but it took a long, it took a while for LA Knight to like become LA Knight again on the main roster, even though he was known in NXT. Cause they was like, I know this guy, but he's kind of playing somebody that he's not supposed to be playing. It's like, what's the big deal? So even when he went back to the LA Knight thing, it was like, I don't know. And then within 6 months, you're getting called Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not saying Kiana James is going to have that, but I'm just saying, they have time to build with her, because it's like you have a base there and you don't have a lot of bad habits. And the one thing WWE has, as we watch it, is plenty of women. And I want to segue, because it's a two-part women's story. The first is that North American women title match, or I like to joke, the BET Invitational. Because you brought up Fallon Henley, and I know like she's... she probably should win that match, but I'm just laughing at the demographics of that match, because it's her and five black women. And what's amazing is that it doesn't feel like pandering, and that that roster is so deep. They have five different type of black women fighting for a secondary women's title.
Yeah, I don't even know who. I'm trying to think of who all is in that.
It is Fallon. Lucky for me, I have it memorized. Don't ask me how, but probably because they've done a good job building that match. So it's Fallon Henley, Mia Yim, Sol Ruka, Jada Parker, Lash Legend, and Kalani Jordan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they have two different type of high flyers, two different type of power wrestlers, goon-ass Mia Yim, and Fallon Henley. So, and it's wild where it's like they just have such a mix of like different styles, different skill levels, and different age, and they all like, I'm guessing it's either Fallon wins or Kalani wins, but to be honest, besides Jada Parker, because I think it might be too soon, any of the other five could win and it wouldn't seem out of place.
My money, since seeing her for the first time, has been on Sol Ruka. It's just like, good Lord. Like, what is going on here? Like, I don't even understand what's happening at this point.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, blew out the ACL. No, I don't have any fear. I'm still going to do these flips.
Yeah, I'm going to do them better than I was doing before, because I'm young. And it's like, they made a conscious effort, and people mock them for it, and it's paying off. Let's just take pretty super athletes and teach them how to wrestle. And surprise, surprise, it works.
Well, and even before that, like, I mean, some other people joke, they're like, dude, like, I mean, wrestling has been picking up, you know, amateur wrestlers for ages. Like, why not expand the scope just a little bit to other athletes?
Yeah, they were doing amateur wrestlers and football players. Like, that was the thing. And occasional baseball players. Like Macho Man was a baseball player.
Oh, it wasn't a good one. Also,
yeah, and a good one, if I remember correctly. Like,
yes.
Getting athletes, like, everybody wasn't just, you know, I used to be a bouncer at a bar, like Diamond Dallas Page. Like, it's fine. Like, before it's like, let's get a big dude at the gym that's lifting weights. But a lot of times it was, I played football. Like, you look at a lot of stars. Brian Simmons, I played football. Steve Austin, I played football. Or I played basketball. Like, you forget Kevin Nash and Undertaker and Big Show. I play basketball. It's like, yes, get athletes and teach them how to wrestle. They've always done that. And now their whole thing is, well, why don't we just, instead of main sports, why don't we get a javelin thrower?
Yeah, let's just they signed Bianca Belair, and they're just like, oh yeah, maybe this whole track and field area is a good spot to look.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, because I noticed like people made fun of the women. It's like, yes, they focus on soccer players and gymnasts, and it's like, yes, that's a good base to focus on if you're gonna do that.
I laughed when Jeremy's like, I don't understand how Jada Parker could have played soccer. I'm like, are you serious?
Have you seen her legs?
Yeah, that's what I'm just like, her legs are like tree trunks. Yeah, like, she probably kicks the hell out of that ball. I'm assuming she is very good at soccer, sir.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you see her and Jasmine Nixon, it's like they both play soccer, and it's like, yeah, I can tell by the lower body that they probably played soccer. Like, it makes sense and it works. And I like how they gave all those women different like mic times, and they all have different personalities and different storylines. And it's like, you know, Mia Yim was kind of lost in the main roster, so move her down to NXT where she had clout. Like, she's respected NXT from based on what she did at NXT beforehand, and she could probably be like, you know, the veteran that's there for that match. And you know, Kalani Jordan was a gymnast, and you can tell. So, you know, Sol Ruka was a surfer, and probably also did gymnastics. Like, Lash Legend played basketball. Jada Parker was a soccer player, so it just fits. And I'm looking forward to that match. Like, it just, all these young women, and it's wild where you can have six women in a match and they have like 20 other women down in that roster.
That's been a talking point for me since they announced this thing, because they had the combine was 20 people, I think, and they cut it down to 12, and I'm like, they had 20 people and they weren't counting Roxanne Perez and like a handful of other women that were on the roster, but just, like, I don't think Thea Hale was in the combine. Was, because she ended up in the tournament. But I felt like there were a couple other names that I can't remember offhand, that I'm just like, holy smokes, like, they have like 24 women down there in a minimum.
Yeah, like, you just turn around, it's just somebody new that you never even heard of. It's like, oh, well, yes, I have two black belts, and I was Division One. I was a pole vaulter.
That was one that, Carmen Petrovic was, you know, tied up with the whole her, Natalia, Shayna, and Lola Vice. You know, Lola Vice was another one where she's a name already there in NXT and pretty much left out of that tournament.
Yeah, because I think she has moved above that. And it's funny, like, because I want to talk about her too. Like, they have three different women's matches on this show coming up. It's what, like, that roster. I know Shawn Michaels has his chest out, like, as we have the deepest women's roster in wrestling. And it's like, he ain't lying. Like, that shit is deep. And it's not really any, I mean, especially with Stardom splitting up, with Stardom Marigold, I don't think it's any other divisions.
TNA is the closest thing. And both of them are like, hey, let's share rosters. And let's start doing our own Forbidden Door shows. Yes. It's just like, okay, sure. Like, we'll just bring in Jordan Grace and some other. I would imagine there would probably be some future collaboration.
They have talked it out, because they say it's going to be an ongoing process and they're not going to rush things. So, because trust me, when Jordan Grace came out, the timeline, because it's like, I was wondering, like, who is Roxanne going to fight? Is it going to be somebody from the main roster? Like, is Charlotte Flair healthy again to do that? And then I didn't expect Jordan Grace, but Jordan Grace did say after the Rumble, like, you're going to see me again. Like, this wasn't a one-time thing. And she came out, and the crowd knew who she was, and they established, like, they TNA World Champion, Jordan Grace. And seeing her wrestle this week and just have a match, like, for people who didn't see, and her hoodie that said NXTNA, and it's like, them working together is insane. I mean, it makes sense for both companies, but the fact that they're just doing it is just like, It's insane.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I think it's another one where it's just like, to me, it's not helping AEW at all. They're like, hey, we're going to work with this other company that is at least financially stable. you can question what they did with creative recently, since a lot of people are still a little bit salty about the whole Scott D'Amore thing.
Yes, and I'm glad they kind of worked past that, because people were wondering, like, are they going to keep doing working together once he's gone? And I guess they decided yes was the answer. And yeah. The funny thing about this is, normally I would say, oh, of course Roxanne Perez is going to win. I'm not so sure. Like, because it's, especially if they're talking about they want to have WWE people show up on TNA pay-per-views, and it's kind of like, I could see it. Depending on how far they want to go with this, I don't know how wacky they want to be. It would just be a hilarious thing. Jordynne Grace has the NXT belt and Roxanne Perez has the TNA belt.
Oh.
Because, yeah. I mean, if they, because the thing that always holds up the interpromotional things is kind of like who wins.
Oh, yeah. And how do you, like, without, I mean, you almost need to loan your talent out. And I kind of wonder, at least for, because there are so many women on that roster, if that isn't a bad thing. Like, if you're like, oh, you can get a few extra matches in over here at TNA, let's do that.
I mean, it helps, and it's like you can have, you know, get out. Like, TNA is not a challenge to WWE, so they're not worried about that. So, and getting, like, NXT, you know, and fans might feel a certain way, like, we slumming and people from SmackDown. Like, NXT, I know Impact wish they get the raise that NXT gets, so let that shit go. And it's kind of like getting, it made me pay more attention to TNA with the whole NXT thing. Like, because I'm hearing names, I see Chris Bates. I'm all, oh, y'all want a challenge for the tag belts? Like, y'all, you know, the door swings both ways. Like, seeing TNA talent tweeting at WWE talent and vice versa, like, let's have matches, is just insane. Because, one, you forget that these people are friends, and two, it's something that can actually happen. Like, you can have those type of matches if you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a little bit surprising that someone like Moose has never really been on the bigger stage, like, didn't go to AEW at any point, has just really been ROH and TNA/Impact.
I mean, look, if they want to do something, they can. And I know people have been talking, like, you know, Moose versus Oba Femi match, and that's, yes, battle of big men. I see Oba Femi out there with a big ass polo shirt that somehow fits. But you know, it's
a situation. That is a very large polo shirt.
Yes. And it's a situation that can help both companies and help young talent on both sides get eyeballs on both. And it's like, that's what wrestling should be. And it's like, I have something, you know. Because you want to see that. And the companies can work. It helps both companies. And it's not like this whole WWE feel like this slumming. And they don't have to look down at, they don't have to look down at TNA. And out of all the companies, they probably have the most history with TNA. Like the whole Dixie Carter thing. Selling, like starting from there. And like they've mentioned TNA before. And they've, like, you know, they owned out Christian Cage before for like a segment. They've been in business before for a while. Like, so
yeah, because I was gonna say, I mean, I felt like it was hard to not talk about when AJ Styles came into the promotion, and that's one of those. I know that I saw that factoid running around recently where AJ Styles is over his TNA match count now in the WWE. Because it's been like 7 or 8 years or something like that that he's been in the WWE at this point.
Yeah, you just realize how much time flies when you hear something like that. And it's like, yes, that, I don't know if I should be amazed or depressed by that, but it's like it happens.
Yeah.
As Gallus is out here jumping, folks. Ugh. I was, even though, like, shout out to Gallus for, like, working with The Rock to get him in shape for WrestleMania, but still, they always come and bully people. But no,
they are getting The Rock push currently.
Yes,
because we helped The Rock, you are getting a push.
Yeah, so I like how this business is going, and I like how they're marketing it, and it's like they made Jordynne Grace for like a big deal. They mentioned she's the TNA world champion. They mentioned TNA. She showed up and had a match today. And then it set up the match with Roxanne Perez. And it's like, the funny thing is kind of like, only wrestling is like, does that fight make sense? Because Roxanne Perez is tough for her size. But Jordynne Grace's leg is as big as Roxanne Perez's body.
I mean, she posts those pictures. I'm like, you are an insane person. And I mean, it's not like, I mean, her husband is doing pretty much the same work, because I saw him at a GCW show and I'm like, sir, you have put on some serious muscle.
Look, if you can't put on height, you can put on muscle mass. Because like, Jordynne Grace isn't tall, but it's like, they call her the juggernaut for a reason. Like, she's built like a fire hydrant with biceps. And she wrestles like she has muscles, but she's not lumbering. Like, she's like, you know, if you shrunk Braun Strowman as far as wrestling, like, you know, as far as like, cause Braun Strowman is a big man that moves surprisingly fast for his size, like a grizzly bear. And that's how Jordynne Grace is. Like, you know, she moves quickly for her size. And it's like, that's always been the thing of Roxanne Perez being a heel champion. It's kind of like, it's hard to be a bully heel when you're smaller than everybody you wrestle. And she's a lot smaller than Jordynne Grace. So it'd be like if Ric Flair wrestled Vader and Vader was the babyface and Ric Flair was the heel. Like, that dynamic does not make sense whatsoever. So I'm curious to see how that match goes. And
yeah,
I wonder how many matches they have, because basically kind of like, from everything you hear, they're trying to like basically tough up Roxanne Perez and get her ready to wrestle Julia, because Julia does not wrestle soft.
Well, I mean, I guess fortunately they've got some time.
Yes, and she gonna need it. And it's like, I like their whole thing is, oh,
because what was that injury that Julia has?
I think she broke her wrist.
Oh, okay. It's not gonna. If it's only a broken wrist, it's not gonna take that long.
Yeah, and I like their mindset is, no, we're not going to change Julia. We just going to have Roxanne toughen up. Like, we want you to, you beat up people. That's what we want you to do. Beat up people.
I mean, that is definitely, it feels like a renewed emphasis in wrestling, just in general, definitely in the WWE. People love showing off the welts online.
Yeah.
So, like, there is this serious push to be like, no, just really hit each other. Like, that'll make it feel more real. It's just like, dear Lord. You look at Sheamus from last night, where it's just like, oh, yeah, I wrestled Gunther 3 weeks ago. My chest just opened up after one punch from Ludwig Kaiser. Like, what the fuck? Why are you doing this to each other? This is supposed to be fake.
I want to be a tough guy. So, yes, I want Gunther and Ilya Dragunov to hit me. So I need aloe vera for a month. No! Bret Hart taught me not to do that.
Yeah, like, I hear the sound. I don't need to be hit that way. Thanks.
Yeah, but I noticed that. That's the whole thing. We bringing back tough guy stuff. So,
yeah.
And it's wild where we're bringing that with the women. Because before it was like, you know, they like the whole frown upon, be all pretty and stuff. We don't want y'all like fighting. And these women are like, no, we gonna fight. Like,
yeah, or else they wouldn't be toughing up Roxanne Perez.
Yeah, it's like, we out here to squabble. And it's just like, I mean, if you're going to have, you get people from Japan, and it's not like they want to get more people from Japan. they don't wrestle soft, you know? And it's like,
is that like the one roster quote unquote hole that the women might have in NXT? Are we missing a Japanese wrestler?
Yes, because it's a gap for one, and she's going to fill it. and I think it helps because you see, you know, Asuka's hurt right now, but you see, like, the success Io Sky and Kairi Sane have, and it's like, yes, that you can have a career now. And I just wondered, like, they had Saray, and they ain't book her right.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they ever thought a chance, like, you know, you can always come back. Like, Kairi came back. So they have, Triple H can say, oh, I don't know nothing about Joshi wrestling. I just watch what I watch. Yeah. Yeah, so you can lie to us and say whatever you want, but we know you're a fan of that. And especially now where it's like they market them better. And from everything you hear, like, they want Julia to basically be a better version of Asuka in NXT. Like, we go, especially like moving to CW, like, they want to build the women's division around her. And it's not just for her, because she is definitely like a one of a kind athlete. It's just a show for anybody in Japan. You want to be like Julia? You want to be like Io Sky? Come over here and wrestle. This adds to the pipeline. Like, it's just a great recruiting. It's just great recruiting.
Oh. Yeah. And actually featuring, honestly, both Kairi and Io recently. Like, I love Io snapping here.
She's been having a hissy fit the last 2 weeks. That shit has been hilarious. So it's funny where it's like Kairi is the most unserious heel they have, and Io Sky is insane, and Dakota Kai is stuck in between the two of them. Asuka's not there to calm stuff down. So, but no, it's just an amazing thing. And the last match I want to talk about, well, I mean, it's for that pay-per-view. Yeah, Lola Vice and Shayna Baszler is going to be a fight. And it's just wild where it's like two MMA fighters that have completely different personalities and style and look. And it's like, it's like almost like an anime. Like,
or even like a video, like, it kind of harkens back to the early UFC days in a lot of ways. Like, Lola Vice, even with the training with Shayna Baszler, she's like, nah, I'm going to be knocking this bitch out, you know?
And shake my ass while I feel. Like, this whole thing comes down to, because it's wild where it's a match with two unlikable heels that are basically beefing because Shayna wouldn't let Lola Vice be herself. And Shayna was just trying to make Lola Vice better. And Lola Vice is like, I'm fine. Why are you hating on me? Like, that's the whole feud. And it is hilarious.
That is the entirety of the feud. And people actually get it, you know? Like, I don't know if they're cheering for one or the other, but I think they understand why it's happening.
Okay. So it's a weird thing where they're both heels that they get cheered. And it's wild where it's like you have two heels in a match, and sometimes it's like, okay, we're gonna pick the more charismatic one, but it's like they don't go out their way to get cheered. Like, Lola Vice goes out her way insulting the crowd, and the crowd does not care. when you have like the top shirt sales for women, and she was like I think she was fourth or fifth. And everybody else was like main roster. Like, she's the only NXT person to break like the top 10. Like, she is very popular with the crowd. Like, they know they have something with her. And
it does help that, I mean, the fact that she has the built-in Miami Vice style merch, it's a good look.
Like, they couldn't have, like, when we talk about the NXT people they get, it's like, they have a lot of mutant people, but sometimes they just have people that have perfect gift. Like, Tiffany Stratton was perfect. I used to be a gymnast, and then I became a bodybuilder, and now I'm a wrestler, and I look like a Barbie doll. You don't, like, Of course she's, and she picks up fast. Of course she's gonna be a star. Like, look at her.
Oh.
And look at that background. And you have Lola Vice. I'm a real MMA fighter, and I look like a video model.
Yes.
I'm surprised she's a star. Like, it's just, and they talked about maybe having a match in the octagon. You know, it's going to be NXT. It's going to be an underground match because they are in the UFC's backyard. And it's just kind of like, I want to see that match because they can fight. Both of them can fight. Like, Shayna has a lot more experience, but people forget, like, yes. I've seen those videos pop up on YouTube. And if I was Shayna Baszler, I'd be mad too if somebody spin kicked me and start shaking their ass while I'm knocked out. I'm laying on the ground, I would be very offended. So I get Shayna Baszler's whole thing is kind of like, you're not taking this serious. I'm gonna show you what serious is. And I get Lola Vice thing too. It's like, I'm doing things my way. Like, if I knock you out, I get to celebrate any way I want. What you gonna tell me? You looking up at the lights. So sometimes simple storylines are the best storylines, and that storyline is just simple.
Well, yeah, and I feel like people talk about the gray area a lot, and sometimes when you just write a simple story, there's gray area there without, like, it felt like it was too forced sometimes when that was a big discussion, but now they're just doing stories, and it's just like, you know, you can see people's sides, like, the continued pettiness of Drew McIntyre on the list of, you know, like, these type of things, like, where, like you said, like, you can understand both Lola and Shayna in this situation, and, like, they've played it out, like, even during the Natalya and Carmen Petrovic feud, like, you saw the result coming.
You know, like, they had the match won, and Lola wanted to taunt and be a, like, she likes humiliating people. Like, that's her thing. And it's, yeah, like, Shayna was like, let's just get the win. And Lola's like, no, I'm going to have fun with it. It's like, she tried that. They lost. And Shayna was still trying to say, like, you know, I'm sorry you learned the hard way, but hopefully you learn. And instead of Lola, like, I learned from this lesson, Lola, like, no, I lost because you wouldn't, like, no, you hating on me, that's why we lost. And it's like, you can understand both viewpoints. You can cheer for whoever you want to cheer. And it's like, you're not trying to turn either one of them baby faces or heels. And it's like, I think they have, like, they have baby faces and heels, but they don't mind mixing up the dynamic. Like, I'm looking at a tag match right now, and Kalani Jordan is with two heels, and Sol Ruka is Kalani Jordan, is tagging with Fallon Henry and Lash Legend. So she's frowning her face up when they're cheating. And Jada Parker is tagged up with Mee Chin and Sol Ruka. And she like, why you got me with these two goody shoes bozos? And it's just like, you know. Like, Lash Legend is a heel, but Lash Legend is also dealing with her whole love stuff with Trick Williams, and it's creating, like, conflict with that. Like, she's saying, I can't mess with you because I'm trying to focus on the belt. Jakar Jackson is sitting in the background with a lollipop just hating. And you just accept the fact, like, you know, just because you're a heel don't mean you always going to team with heels or you're always going to do heel things. Sometimes you're going to do the right thing for your own selfish reason. Like, your people.
Oh my gosh.
NXT has, I'm looking forward to Battleground. But we were talking about, like, heels acting like human beings. And one that is becoming a star, and just by being a heel that's a badass, is Bron Breakker.
Yeah, like, that was something I mentioned earlier today that I'm okay talking more about on the podcast. Like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, Twitter is not the place to try and explain yourself. That's why I don't mind doing a podcast. But yeah, everyone that got put in the King or Queen of the Ring that either recently came up from NXT or was, you know, a relatively early prospect. It's just like, it seemed like a win or bust kind of situation. And Bron Breakker has gotten to turn the no-show in the King of the Ring tournament into a storyline with Ricochet and Ilya Dragunov. And man, that's going to be a good way to introduce all of them. Or, well, introduce the Dragunov and Breakker to the roster. Like, just let them beat the hell out of each other. Like, I sign me up for that. I think that'll work for everyone involved.
It's a wild story because Dragunov's whole thing, like, Ricochet and Dragunov started by wrestling each other. And then their whole thing is Ricochet, like, I don't need any help. I can do this myself because Bron Breakker's bullying both of them. Dragunov, like, I ain't here to help you. I just like that you a fighter. I'm not here to patronize you and anything like that. Like, if you want to go out there and get beat up, I respect that. But after the match, if you try to do some extra stuff, I'm going to be there. Because I'm a fight. Because Dragunov's whole thing is, how much you think because I have this suit and I love my family that I'm a hero? Like, I hurt people too, but I have honor. When it comes to that.
Yeah, he kind of has that Sheamus type of, I just like to fight, but if we feel like going out for beers afterwards, I'll do it. You know, without saying I'll go out for beers with you.
Yes, and Bron Breakker's whole thing is, you didn't give me what I want, so I'm going to beat up everybody I want to beat up and make you stop me. And Adam Pearce is like, I don't know what to do with this maniac, because Bron Breakker is kind of like, if you combine the Steiner brothers and put them in Goldberg's body, which seems patently unfair considering the genetics the Steiner brothers had. And the fact that, I know it's a gimmick, Bron Breakker on those ropes is just, that seems dangerous. You're not hitting me.
Oh. Yeah, that man is building up some serious speed. I don't know if it's, who was Michael Cole quoting 23 miles an hour or something like that.
I mean, I saw the college highlights, like, I could believe it. I know that's saying a lot because it's like Tyreek Hill speed and everything like that, but it's like Bron Breakker running a straight line for like 10 yards. Yeah, I can see that bouncing off those ropes. And it's just like, it's wild because he's a total heel and the crowd loves him because he's a badass. And like, it's, when you're a cool heel that does cool stuff, you're going to get cheered. And it's like, I'm going to hop to the rope, taunt, and pull off a Frankensteiner. Yes, the crowd's going to cheer that. Sorry, Ricochet. That's just how it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Ricochet just, wrong place, right place, wrong time, I think.
Yeah, that's been happening a lot because last week he was wrestling Dragunov, and I like how they showed the backstage, like the behind the scenes look, because Bron Breakker ran in. Like, he timed that perfectly. Like, he was moving like he was Spider-Man, and then he hopped the guardrail and clobbered him. And like, seeing how he did it and how he was moving, how he timed it, it's like they have so many amazing athletes. And people was talking about, what are you going to do in the future? They got the future. Like, the future is not a problem, because considering both rosters, how many men and women are hurt or not there, and it does not matter. Like, on the men's side, you know, like Roman Reigns hasn't been there since WrestleMania. CM Punk is hurt. Seth Rollins is hurt. Bobby Lashley is hurt. It has not mattered an inch. It is a matter of slight. It's like, women, Asuka's hurt, Charlotte's hurt, Becky is home. Doesn't have you, and Shotzi's out. Has it matter? Not really. Like, they have so many bodies where it's like, you keep it moving. They'll sign, they'll resign. They'll be back. They not be back. Like, the ship keeps moving. And it's like, just the fact that they have these people in the mid card, like, you have Bron Breakker, Ricochet, Ilja Dragunov in the mid card. That's an insane amount of talent that you just have. It's like, you know, we're fine. We don't have to work. Like, we are fine. People worried about the future of WWE. you don't have to do that.
No, that you should be completely unconcerned.
You know, or is Chad Gable going to resign? Yes, he's going to resign. I don't know how this whole, maybe that's not how that guy got fired. This whole, all of a sudden, we keep hearing about this guy, the contracts are running out. Like, I didn't real, like, I have noticed that's become a thing lately for a lot of people.
Well, yeah, and I don't, just because AEW talked about the signings of the likes of Will Ospreay and Okada, not as many people talking about the big free agent signings by the WWE.
I mean,
recently, yeah. And I mean, I talked about it last week with Chris. I know, but Becky Lynch, in no way does she gain anything by going to AEW.
She's like, not leaving her husband, and it's like she's not taking a step down because it's a step. Like, she's one of the few people that her going there would make a significant, would make a difference, but she ain't doing that. Like, she probably, you know what she's going to do? Take that vacation that she was supposed to take before Rhea Ripley got hurt.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining.
Yeah,
like, AKA, yeah, I'm going to take a few months off here, yeah, hang out with the husband and the kid.
Yeah, while he's rehabbing and stuff. Because I just forgot, like, Rhea Ripley, their biggest woman, like, their two biggest women stars, one is injured and one is going to be taking a break for vacation. And it's like, it does not matter. And I'm just trying to think, it's like the equivalent of like Stone Cold and The Rock both being hurt at the same time and WWE not losing a step. Like,
well, and what was it? Was it, you might have even mentioned it, that Liv Morgan or was in the most watched like YouTube clips and everything? Like, they lose one star and they're like, oh yeah, we're just going to feature this one who people love too.
I'm glad you brought her up because people talk about what was, because it's funny how there's a sizable wrestling Twitter that doesn't get, well, why is Liv Morgan a big deal? I'm like, are y'all insane? Like,
do you have eyes?
Not just that, Liv Morgan is really not, it's not a one-to-one comparison. She's the woman version of CM Punk as far as like, because Liv Morgan is somebody where she's beautiful, but if you go, like, if you've been, like, she was found at Hooters. If you go into a restaurant or you went to your gym, you've seen somebody like Liv Morgan. I've seen people like that's like that type of beauty level. Like, she's gorgeous, but not like this whole impossible thing. She's athletic, but she's not a mutant athlete. But it's like she loves what she does. She has passion. She has fire. And like, she has worked. People know her story. And like, people get behind that. That whole, I can relate to you because I could be you in a different, like, you're not going to be Liv Morgan, but you've got to convince yourself that maybe you could be. Same thing with CM Punk. Like, you know you're not going to be Randy Orton or John Cena. And you know you're probably not going to be Bryan Danielson because you're not going to be that damn good at a particular thing like he is. But you can lie to yourself and convince yourself, well, you know, if I had a gym membership and a chance, I might be CM Punk one day. You can't, you're not, but you can lie to yourself and say that. And it's like,
it's that average Joe syndrome that I don't know
what's
average Joe for women.
It's the same thing with like, well, AJ Lee was the same thing. Was like, you know I'm not gonna be Maurice, but maybe I could be AJ Lee. You gotta lie and say that, but it worked for her. And it's like, people like drama and people like messy stuff. And it's like, yes, those segments hilarious. Like, those segments with her and Dominic are hilarious. Like, I don't care what y'all say, because it is a soap opera storyline, and it works because people hate Dominic, and people kind of want to like Liv, but they like Rhea Ripley more, which is wild because they're both heels. And it's like, how Liv Morgan ain't really the bad guy in this situation, but she just moving in a certain way. But
yeah,
basically being a seductress to Dominic Mysterio is just hilarious, because Dom is like, I don't want any parts of this, and you know you're gonna get me. You know you're gonna get beat up. And it's like, yeah, but so will you. And just laughs, like, basically being the Joker, like, yeah, you're going to have fun in the meantime, so just have some fun. You don't want to kiss a pretty girl?
Yes, so very high school and or college drama taking place right there.
And as we have seen in pro wrestling, especially WWE, those always move the needle. I don't know why we act. I don't know why we pretend that we don't like drama when we grew up in that. Like, we grew up with the whole Macho Man, Miss Elizabeth thing, and we damn sure grew up in the Attitude Era. Like, we gonna pretend we don't remember those Triple H, Kurt Angle, Stephanie segments.
Drama has been and should be a part of professional wrestling.
Yeah, and it's nuanced because, like, the Judgment Day is in this weird situation where they've been a dominant faction for like almost 3 years on that damn show. Yet they all aren't on the same page because Rhea was a heel, and then she got so popular that she kind of became like a tweener, and she's like a she's a
And then
heel
they
that's,
went to Australia, and it's just
and she
like,
was the
yeah,
baby
sorry,
face, and then came
definitely
back.
babyface.
Yeah, and then came back like, we're gonna have you be a heel again, and now it's like we're gonna have sympathy. Like, when she come back, she's gonna get cheered, and they already know that. Damian Priest is, I was the heel, so I became champion, and then I want to fight with honor. I want to fight the right way. Like, I'm gonna clean up mess. I'm gonna show you how it's done, and we're gonna do stuff the correct way. And everybody's looking at him as like, what are you talking about? Like, Finn is kind of like, why are y'all here trying to be honorable all of a sudden? Like, it's just a wild thing. Like, him and JD's kind of looking at Damien a certain way, and they're looking at Dom a certain way too. What are you doing? Rhea's gonna strangle you. Like, why are you messing around with this strumpet?
Yeah, the fact that the abs keep on getting in the way and being like, dude, like, come on, get off of him. Like, this is gonna cause me more hassle than if you two aren't together. Yeah, and you're right. Like, it's funny how there's just a very strange dynamic going on with everyone involved. Because, yeah, like, Dominic's doing his own thing, like, trying to, like, I mean, it started with him just recruiting randos, and now Carlito seems to have stuck in
Yeah.
the
And
groove.
it's just like, yeah, we tried to get like Ruby doing Ricochet, and then we tried to get Andrade, and now we got Carlito, and it's like, then the R-Truth whole thing, and it's like it works because it's just this chaotic, dysfunctional group that still wins matches and still, like, they jumped and beat up Braun Strowman. It took them about five tries and like two different shows, but they finally did it because it's on the light. When they get on the same page, they can beat up anybody. But most of the time, they're on the same page. And Damian's whole thing is he's trying to clean up all their messes while worrying about Drew McIntyre. Because, like, yeah, Drew McIntyre is there, like, you have my belt, and I'm going to get my belt back. And Damian Priest is, no, you're not. You still worry about CM Punk. You always focus on other stuff. Like, you're going to be your own worst enemy. And we're going to have another match where it's kind of like a tweener heel is fighting another tweener heel because Drew is a heel, but he's so damn funny that people like him. The only way he gets booed is because he's feuding with CM Punk.
Well, and it is something. The more that they do it, the more I'm like I thought that it was a slam dunk that McIntyre was winning at Clash at the Castle. But when you have another segment of him getting distracted by Michael Cole of all people, hey, are you gonna, trash talk me while I'm out here? Like, gets himself completely distracted again, and it costs him again. It's just like, oh my God, are they gonna play this story the whole way through this Clash at the Castle and have him get distracted another time and cost himself the championship again? Like, it is more on the table than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I will just say, I don't think they want to have a riot. Because I have noticed, like, if you paid attention, they are kind of like, yes, oh, we're going to have all the people that's in your hometown, we're going to have you on this show. Because all of a sudden, like, Piper Niven is back in the title picture. Isle of Dawn and Alba Fire, all of a sudden it's like, oh, so y'all out of catering and now y'all back on the show. And it's like, yeah, you know, y'all just forgot about us. You think we're not gonna have a match in our home country? Like, next, like, no, bump that. And it's like, it makes sense. I don't know they're gonna win, but I know they're gonna have people there. But I can see, the whole thing is, I can't see Piper losing, Alba Fire and Isle of Dawn losing, and
oof, that would be rough if the trifecta lost. Cause yeah, I don't see Bianca and Jade losing in a triple threat match. Yes. Cause that seems like where that one's headed. Piper Niven does not seem like a likely champion over Bailey.
Yeah, although it's going to be a shame. I mean, Bailey doesn't mind being a heel there, but it's like, it's going to be funny when Bailey's this baby face that's going to be getting. But you never know, because those crowds, like those European crowds, love Bailey too. So.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting reaction.
Yeah, but no. Drew ain't losing. Like, if Vince was in charge, I could see that. But no, Drew. Like they had that man on the poster for a reason. Drew is not losing. And he's not losing to Damian Priest. Like, it doesn't make no sense. Especially because it's like, you're going to put the belt on Drew because they assume that Punk will be back by SummerSlam. So you're going to have to kind of start that storyline up. Unless they're going to do the whole Punk screws Drew. But even then, it's a weird dynamic because it's like, Gunther's waiting in the background. And also at SummerSlam.
Yeah, which is I think the other piece of evidence where I'm like, seriously, could Drew lose this thing? Just because, I mean, they've done, again, Shades of Grey has worked out pretty well for the WWE as of late. That feud seems a bit too far for my personal opinion. Like that. That seems like you're asking for kind of a lot.
I mean, they just have so many damn irons in the fire, so to speak, with so many contenders. Not even talking about Seth Rollins, where I think everybody assumed that Randy Orton was going to win King of the Ring once they said it was going to get a title match at SummerSlam. So the fact that Gunther won kind of like threw a lot of people off, because it's like, Gunther's going to be in the match at SummerSlam. Who is he fighting? Cause it's like, it's just wild. Where you think about it, not count CM Punk, everybody, it's a bunch of heels fighting for the title.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if it makes it much better. I mean, I do feel like Damian Priest is starting to get some cheers because he is trying to be, quote unquote, legit. I guess he could be the baby face against Gunther. I don't know. Like, it's going to be, I guess it's going to be a weird dynamic, whether it's Drew or Damian Priest against Gunther.
Yeah, and it's one of those good problems because you're going to have a great match regardless. But I like how the whole thing is kind of like, they don't mind having heels wrestle heels. And it used to be a thing where they didn't really do all too much. Or they did was kind of like mid-card stuff every now and then. And now it's like, yeah, we can have a heel fight a heel for our world titles, men or women. Like, you're going to fight, you're going to fight. Y'all don't, you know, villains can dislike each other.
Yeah, I have definitely made that argument more than a few times on this podcast. That to me, babyface versus babyface is always more awkward to me than heel versus heel. Because there can be some type of, you know, natural friction with heels where, you know, yeah, they're heels. They're bad guys. They want to be the top guy. You know, like, they're the ones with the bigger ego that needs to be placated. Like, they should rub each other the wrong way. Like, baby faces should generally get along, or, you know, maybe just do the respect thing. And, oh boy. That respect thing does not work terribly well in wrestling, more times than not.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes learned that the hard way. So on SmackDown, you should have seen that coming. But, no, it's just, I do want to point out something, two things on Raw. One, did you watch that women's tag match?
Yes.
Did you notice that camera work, like, the end of that match?
I was almost in tears that someone was complaining. They're like, oh, that whole continuous camera work thing is the WWE's already overusing it. I saw that on Twitter. I'm just like,
Are y'all insane?
Get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, what the? I don't like good camera work.
You know what's wild about it?
Huh?
It took me like 30 seconds to notice what they were doing. And then once I saw what they were doing, I'm like, well, how long are they going to do it? And they did it for like, what, 3 minutes, it felt like?
That's the number. I didn't really keep track when I was watching, but I feel like it was 3 to 4 minutes was what I was seeing online, where they just went seamless. And it's like,
do people not realize how difficult that is in like a wrestling match, like to do that and it like not lose the angle and not be super distracted? I was just watching it. I was like, once I realized what they were doing, I wouldn't see how long they were doing. I was like, this is amazing. This is a masterclass on how you film modern wrestling. Like, you want to show the best angles and show these athletes doing the athletic things, and it was just aid, and it caught all the like stuff in the background, and then it caught all the way up until like Alba Fire and Isle of Dawn ran in. It was like, this is perfect. And I got so damn mad at Kevin Dunn, like, we could have been had this crap, and we had that shaky cam nonsense.
Well, it's always one that I mention, like, AEW had a chance to be an alternative, you know? And they could have been doing innovative shots like this at some point, and they didn't. You know, like, this isn't rocket science. Like, I mean, they're basically just using kind of more of a drone-type shot, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Michael Bay ambulance. That's what I call it.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's been around in cinema for kind of a while at this point. So, like,
it's the YouTube camera. And it's like, that's basically what it is. Like, Logan, this is the Logan Paul cam. Like, when he was, that's basically what Logan Paul was doing, his YouTube videos. And I first noticed him doing that when he was doing his top rope splashes. I'm like, if they could figure out how to maximize it, they got something there, and they have figured out how to do it. It's like continuous camera shots, multiple angles. It's like, it helps that they have these full crowds, because I want to point out, based on the crowd, yeah, y'all need to stop complaining about Jey Uso. Like, come on now. That man's a, y'all can, I don't give a damn if he got one move. Like, that man is a rock star. Can we let that, why is he getting pushed? Y'all see how the crowd treats that man? Like, that's why he is getting pushed.
Yeah, that's one where I'm like, it just seems so disingenuous to make that argument. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so obvious, like, that he has that crowd. Like, it's one thing when you're like, oh, okay, whatever, the crowd, if you want to be this kind of way, oh, the crowd in France was hot for everyone. Whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He had Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Bouncing. Like, it's just like, nah.
And people don't realize, sorry. I'm like, yeah. Like, Hershey's not really, like, Hershey has a good crowd. They're not known for like that, because they always get wrestling. So they kind of get like complacent. And I was like, they're treating this man like he Elvis. Like, and it's Hershey. It wasn't Brooklyn. It wasn't Chicago. Like, it was Hershey. And I'm like, I'm seeing this, and I'm like, I thought we learned this. Like, the same thing with LA Knight. Why did you push LA Knight? It's like, because the crowd, even with LA Knight, they try to put on the background. Whenever he comes out, it's like, no, we love this man. Jey Uso, they love that man. And WWE production is like, oh, so France like to do the whole thing with the cameras? We're going to bring that to America. We're going to turn the lights off. We know people like copy and stuff. Go ahead and do it. And they just let that happen. And it helps where you have a hot crowd. So you can show off the entire arena doing the whole dance. And Jey basically come out saying, I know why y'all got. I know y'all chair me. I want to give y'all a reason to chair me more. I'm gonna get the money in the bank.
Yeah, and I mean that seems like one of those few times where I'm like, yeah, this makes sense for a baby face. Like, if just because the money in the bank is such a heel thing, in my opinion, because, you know, I mean, it's an underhanded win. But Jey Uso, since he missed out on King of the Ring, this seems like the next best thing for him to win the money in the bank.
And it makes the most sense for him to win that, considering the people that's like, because everybody else is like preoccupied with other stuff. And it's like, Jey is popular. Jey is the man. It's time to put a belt on Jey. If you're not going to put the IC title on him, I mean, Jey Uso, world champion on Raw, is fine with me. Like, he is popular enough where that works, and he can have good enough matches where it will be fine. This whole work rate thing, like, I saw somebody put a, I think it was on Twitter or YouTube, probably Twitter. It was like a 3-minute clip of Steamboat versus Flair with just chops.
Oh.
And it was enough chops to fill up 3 minutes, and I'm like, yes. I know Bret Hart was being salty, but he was pointing out how Ric Flair only had a few moves, and it's like, you don't need a lot of moves to get over. Like, unless your gimmick is I do a lot of moves, like I'm Dean Malenko or Chris Canyon. Look, you can do a front suplex. It's a million ways to do a front suplex. It's still a front suplex. It's a million ways to do a back suplex. German, Dragon, Tiger. They all back suplexes. Who cares? It's a slam. It's a power bomb. It's a clothesline lariat. You might jump. You might not jump. It's only like 4 or 5 moves in wrestling anyway. You just kind of do variations of it. So who cares? It's like, does the crowd get enthused? Does the crowd care about what you're doing? Do they care about you? If the answer is yes, you're a good worker. And I ended up talking about Hulk Hogan. I'm like, Steve Austin punched and kicked himself into having a big ass house in Texas and California. Like, The Rock is one of the most popular people on the planet. He was not doing a million moves. Like, you don't have to do all that. And I just laugh, like, all of a sudden, this whole, that's the RV moves against Jey Uso. Oh, he just do a bunch of super kicks. I'm like, so what? The crowd likes that. And you know how I know the crowd likes that? Besides the fact that they do his dance. Whenever you go on Shop Zone, they had the top merchandise. The top 10, he's always he always had like 3 or 4 spots.
I honestly in some ways want to and also do not want to know how many yeet glasses have been sold. I'm gonna guess that number is very high.
Yes, yeet glasses and yeet shirts, like black yeet, white yeet, red yeet. It's been like that for a while. I'm just like, if people wonder what was the whole point of Roman Reigns being on top, I'm like, beside Cody Rhodes, all you gotta do is look at the careers of Jey Uso and Sami Zayn, and that's your answer. Because he changed, and also to a certain extent Kevin Owens, but he changed the trajectory of Sami Zayn and Jey Uso a lot. Like, Jey Uso probably became a millionaire thanks to feuding with Roman Reigns, and Sami Zayn is like the best pure babyface they have had. I mean, it's wild. What if Cody Rhodes didn't exist, Sami Zayn would be the best pure babyface they had since like Kofi Kingston and Kofi Mania. That's like, and it's like they have both of them on the same show. And that's because of Roman Reigns. And instead it's like, well, he just do kicks. Shut up.
This is one where I'm like, it in some ways has that revival of John Cena's 5 moves of doom situation where it's just like, so what if he only does 5 moves? Like, the crowd loves him. Who gives a shit?
Yes, who cares? Like, that's supposed to be the whole point. And it's kind of like, I think it's this, they don't mind if they like you. But they don't like you to complain. Because we heard the same thing with LA Knight. Oh, he just biting off a Stone Cold and a Rock. It's like, y'all thought that LA Knight thing was cute at a certain level. But once he became like, I'm getting a title match, all night. What you, why are we doing that? It's like, because he got over by himself. And the crowd loves him. Isn't that the point? You used to tell the whole thing. If you get over, you get rewarded. And I think what's pissing people off is like, now it's actually happening. And it's not like a lie. It's like, if you get yourself over, it's going to work. Yeah. Yeah. Because before, to me, the whole thing was, if you get, you know, you get yourself over, you're going to get rewarded. And sometimes, like, yeah, if they want you to, because we've seen plenty of times you get over and it wasn't supposed to happen and they try to stymie you. Now it's like, oh, if you get over, all right, we're gonna make it work. Like Chad Gable got over, he over. Not this whole he too short, he too small. It's like, oh, you know, you gonna be Kurt Angle 2.0? They chant, you suck at his music. We gonna go with it. We gonna make it work. Cause guess what? It's working. And I just like that. And it's like, that's the difference. And y'all like a tough shit. Hey, his fault. He's good at his job. Like, we shouldn't punish people that's good at their jobs. And that seemed to be the thing where it's like, if it's the wrong person that's doing it, we have issues with that. And it's like, they have some, I think it's like, it's an abundance of riches. Like, WWE has a good problem where they have so many people that are popular and over that they can kind of like do what they want to do.
Yeah. Well, like you said, like, they've dropped how many, you know, names. Like, CM Punk was almost an integral part of the build to WrestleMania.
Yeah, like,
and
him?
He came back and, what, did one or two promos since then? But really has been largely absent since WrestleMania. And just no problems whatsoever.
Yeah, like, Seth hasn't been there. Like, the funniest thing is, I see old Tim, like, yeah, The Rock was a big damn deal building up to WrestleMania. And it was like, it's funny where the two biggest stars, not count Cody, was The Rock and Roman Reigns. Neither one of them are around and it hasn't mattered. And it's like, although I will say I do miss The Rock. I forgot how enjoyable those final balls promos was, and that beat down the ring with Cody Rhodes. I think he was kind of too good at his role. So I can get this whole, it's just like, I know he's busy doing other stuff and him in small doses work, but he was so damn good. I miss him. Like, Roman deserved his break. So I don't mind. Like, although I miss Roman too. And guess what? It's wild where it went from, we sick of Roman Reigns, to they chanting for Roman Reigns every damn week. It's like, oh, y'all miss him because Solo Sikoa out there dressing like he about to bring you some cheddar biscuits from Red Lobster.
Yeah, he is doing a Samoan version of Tony D'Angelo or something like that.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, it's just wild where it's kind of like, I think the issue is, and I think that's part of storyline, is kind of like, he should have been acting like that, and it would have made more sense, like, if he was acting like he was acting in NXT, but the fact that he was just, I'm the quiet man that doesn't talk, and now all of a sudden, I'm the mouthpiece, and I'm the real boss, and this has come off as fake. But I think it's supposed to. But the problem is, he's surrounded with people that's more charismatic than him. Like, I see Tama Tonga. You can try to, like, you can try to delude him all you want. That man got the juice. Like, I see that charisma. And everything I heard about Jacob Fatu is like, I can see, well, I don't know if the rumor is true, I can see like the whole thing. Well, be afraid to bring him out here. He might overshadow Solo Sikoa. Oh, that's y'all fault. Y'all saw the tape? If y'all was worried about that, that's a good problem to have. Y'all shouldn't have did the storyline that way.
Yeah, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem. Or a him problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, we like him, but he might be too good. And oh, well, it's like, sometimes you get bumped if you're not good enough. That's how storylines work. Like, Solo's getting all the chance in the world. And Paul Heyman's doing masterclass. It's kind of like, I don't know what to believe. I'm frightened. And I'm just trying to kind of, like, navigate these waters. And I don't have any friends. Because I burned all my bridges. And Jimmy's not here. And Roman's not here, and Rock's not here, and I can't call Jay because I screwed Jay. So it's like, and everybody's like, yep, sure did. Good luck.
Well, I mean, I do kind of love that, especially like Kevin Owens is like, you know, he's just like, hey, dude, come on. I know every trick in the book here. Like, you're not going to sell me on this one.
Yes. Yeah, SmackDown is perfect because they have my favorite thing, baby faces that are smart. Like, of course, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton would be like buddies. They the same damn people. Like, babyface, they used to be evil assholes. They still are evil assholes, but it's like, yeah, you know, we dastardly, but that's the past. But we're not gonna pretend that we're not. And I just love their dynamic because it's kind of like the two old men that used to be evil and still got a little bit of them, but it's like now we just chilling, having fun.
Yeah, we're just evil to make the crowd cheer.
Yeah, I'm more amazed by Kevin Owens being this beloved old man in the locker room, or Randy Orton basically becoming the Undertaker. Where it's like they treat Randy Orton like he is God at this point. Where it's like he's the OG, everybody loves him, the crowd loves him, the locker room respects him and treat him like he the man. And he like, I'm gonna wrestle. I feel great. Triple H let me get time off. I'm gonna wrestle till I'm 50. Like, I'm not trying to do no movies. I'm a lifer. Because he don't need the money anymore. He don't need to win it. He's just doing it because he enjoyed doing it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm assuming he also likes his paycheck.
Yes, I'm sure he getting paid plenty of money. But it's funny when he brought up the whole point was, he said when he was like 35 and he was having back issues, he had Vince to like take some time off. And Vince was like, well, pal, you got to keep it moving. We all got to retire eventually. Yeah, actually coming up a lot where all these people talk about, you know, Vince did what he did, but I'm glad he's gone because Triple H treats us like humans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Randy Orton, definitely a person that can – he threaded that needle, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it.
Yes, I appreciate what he did for me, but it's good for a change, and times change, and I'm glad – basically, it's kind of like – I'm glad he was here, but I'm more glad that he's gone. So he did it in like an honest, diplomatic way, which is funny because Randy Orton is not always the most diplomatic person. But he definitely threaded that needle, and he did it in an awesome way. And yeah, I'm like, they just have so many great storylines that's going on both shows. It's just funny. And I guess we can wrap up with Cody Rhodes. Come on, man. I know you – it's like – I know you, Dusty Rhodes' son. Why are you acting like Sting? Like, and people brought up a good point because they were kind of saying, like, of course, AJ Styles, even he had a suit that had a similar shade to Mark Henry. Of course, that was going to happen. And I'm like, they weren't booking that for us. We're eternally online. So we remember everything that happened since we were kids. It's a generation of fans that do not remember that Mark Henry Salmon soup skit because that was. Keep in mind, that was a long time ago.
I mean, just kind of look at the house show stuff, you know, as of late. In the WWE ads, they're not featuring, you know, anyone remotely close to our age. They're featuring people that were our age when we were watching in the 80s and or early 90s.
Yes, like it's... There's plenty of people like that didn't watch that and don't remember that. So they're looking at that. It's like, and they set it up where it's kind of like, I knew it was going to happen, but if I didn't know anybody, they did a good job. Because, like, you know, because they've been building it up for like a couple of weeks. It wasn't like, it didn't come out the blue. AJ's whole thing was, I don't got a lot of time. And he's talking about start from scratch. I ain't back in the bus. I'm too old for all that. Like, he basically saying, I don't have enough time to do what you asked me to do. Like, you being fair, I'm old. And I only got a few, like, and you want me to work my way back up? Like, I'm not Rocky. So, no. And then, of course, the OC's out there. And you got LA Knight out there. Everybody's kind of like, you know, I heard this is in. If you're going to go, I heard the rumors. If you're going to go, I appreciate you. And, you know, he out here. We're friends. I'm going to hear, you know, this is... the house that AJ Styles built. I'm gonna give you the keys. And as soon as they start dragging out, you know what's gonna happen. But it's still funny that it happened because it was kind of like they did just have a match. A great match, actually. And it's like they do have great chemistry. And if you're going to run it back and have some more venom to it, because people were wondering, like, what's Cody Rhodes going to do? This is what Cody Rhodes is going to do.
Well, and it's a great way to have him continue doing something. It's still a top-notch opponent, and you're not burning someone else, you know? Like, you freshened up the story. Like, that's all that you can ask for, basically.
Yeah, like it's basically, I feel like they're killing time with that until, because I feel like the big thing is him and like Cody and Randy Orton. And I feel like that's SummerSlam. And that's, oh boy, talk about history with that match. But it's kind of like in the meantime, you need something to do with Cody Rhodes. And it's like, yeah, I say this, they're going to have a great match again. Because they had a great match last time. Say you want to say about AJ Styles, he has great matches. And Cody Rhodes has great matches with people who can have great matches. And that's all you can ask for. And and trust me, everybody loves Cody Rhodes. And it's kind of people pointing out, like, as far as like merchandise and attendance, Cody Rhodes is basically putting up Steve Austin numbers. Which is insane to think about, but it's kind of like, You see, whenever Cody Rhodes show up on screen, people lose their mind. So, in case people were wondering, like, was that gonna go away after WrestleMania? No, it has not gone away. Cody Rhodes and Bianca Belair are the faces of the company, and they get treated as such. So,
yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild what's going on with him.
And it's just like, I would have never guessed it. Like, I knew he was going to be something when he came back from AEW. But this, like, Hulk Hogan 2.0, like,
he's even got to be pinching himself. Like, this is, like, the ideal scenario. You know, like, it could not have gone any better than this. The torn pec is the only thing that
could have made it better. But it built to it. I mean, the man is like the undisputed king and the deepest roster since the post-Attitude era. And he slayed Roman Reigns, who was like the man. Roman Reigns was the man for a long ass time. And he was like, yeah, they're built for 4 years?
Something close to that. At least 3+.
Yeah, like he beat a man that held the belt for almost 4 years, and he got elevated by The Rock coming back. Like,
and more than likely is going to keep the belt until The Rock can at least challenge him in a match.
Yes, and it's kind of like, I know the money is in Roman Reigns versus The Rock, but The Rock was so he did his job too well as a heel. It's like, I want to see Cody Rhodes wrestle The Rock. Like, and I know Cody Rhodes is going to win as he should. I don't care. Like, it was entertaining. And it's amazing where The Rock did the best heel work that they probably, I don't want to say ever, but had in a long time.
Yeah. It has been a long ass time.
Yeah, like, I don't know if, like, you know, I don't want to give a prisoner moment say it's the best ever, because ever is a long time, but I can't name a whole lot of scenarios that was better than what he was doing. Like, I still go back and watch those. It was just amazing, like the work he was doing. And it was almost the point where it's kind of like, it's supposed to set up Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, and Roman Reigns got kind of pushed in the background, and Roman Reigns never gets pushed in the background, and The Rock was just so damn good at his job. It just, like, it was supposed to build one match, you want to see another match.
Well, and I mean, I think that in the end, depending upon even what they do with Solo, if you end up having The Rock be a shadow force behind Solo going rogue, you end up having your setup for Roman versus The Rock. Like, I mean, I do think that that was the biggest problem with trying to run that this year. There didn't feel like there was a reason. Like, they had kind of built some heat over The Rock's, like, sporadic appearances on wrestling, but nothing sustained. And it's just, like, I feel like how everything ended up working out, that they can get to that story and it will make more sense than it would have this past year.
Yeah.
Or this like year,
the,
I guess.
Yeah, like, the timing basically was, it would have made it more sense 2 years ago when they first talked about doing it, because people talk about the whole, like, Cody Rhodes. Well, like, Cody Rhodes never felt like he should have been in that match in the first place, the first time they had the match, because it was kind of like, it was set up for him. He beat Seth Rollins, then he's out for 8 months, then he beats, then he wins the Royal Rumble. All of a sudden, it's kind of like, oh, well, it's Cody time. I'm like, no, it was. I'm like, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Jey Uso had better claims to that spot than Cody Rhodes did the first time that happened. And it was just kind of like, you know, you're going with it because it's supposed to be, but the storyline didn't really make sense. The second time you do it, the storyline made a lot more sense to do that. And them trying to shoehorn The Rock is like, I know what y'all are trying to do, but it's not enough time.
Oh. It's like, yeah.
Because it's kind of like you had a whole bunch of history, but it wasn't, it was in the background for too long. So it was like, it was a timing issue both times, and they called it audible, made it work. Now it's like, if you want to do War Games and have Bloodline versus Bloodline, which it sounds like, I mean, depending on The Rock's filming schedule, if you want to go there, go there. But the whole thing is, you might run into the same problem that you run into again, because you have two big matches and you're trying to figure out when you're going to have them, because you have Rock versus Cody and Rock versus Roman. But when you going to do them? Like, what you going to do at WrestleMania in Vegas? Which one?
Yeah, I don't know. Did they get put over a barrel enough by the city of Minnesota that they end up running one of those matches in SummerSlam 2026, since they've already announced that ahead of WrestleMania 2025?
Yeah, that's wild. Where it's like, you know, 2 years from now, you're going to have a 2-day SummerSlam thing. I'm like, I saw that day. I'm like, 2 years? You don't even know where SummerSlam will be at next year. I guess you think global warming is going to be enough of a thing that's going to be hot enough in Minnesota, nobody's going to complain, which might be the case, but not even next year at SummerSlam. 2 years from now.
Yeah, I had to fit that joke in there at least. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, as long as The Rock is filming movies and there's no reason for him not to do his primary job, both of these matches are going to get drawn out, you know, like, I don't, as much as that's a mostly me going for a joke, it's not completely unreasonable if the guy's only going to have a match twice a year, max?
I think the wild card in all this isn't The Rock or Cody Rhodes. It's Roman Reigns. Because, you know, I saw him pop up on movie sets. And that's going to be a thing. And Roman might be like, I'm all right. Hey, Roman, you want a real rematch against Cody? Nah. the worst part about it is, like, you get that taste in Hollywood and it works because Roman Reigns has charisma, he has looks. So if he has talent,
yeah, because I mean, didn't they say that that is part of the reason for his absence currently?
Yeah, he was shooting a movie. It was long taking a break, and it's like people kind of knew that was going to be a thing where it's kind of like, once he popped up in Hobbs and Shaw, it was like, he's not going to be here for a, enjoy him while he's here, because he ain't going to be this whole, I'm just going to be here till I'm 50 years old. Like, no. Like, him and Bianca Belair have eyes somewhere else. So enjoy them while they're there, because they're not going to be there forever. And at least with Bianca Belair, they got plenty of replacements. But Roman is like, it's going to be a hole. They can fill it with a hole. And it's like, because even Cody Rhodes is doing a cameo in the Naked Gun movie.
Oh.
And it's like, that's just a wild thing where it's kind of like, yeah, WWE people become such a big deal. Like, yeah, Liv Morgan on the red carpet, Bad Boys, of course. Like, bringing the belt, taking pictures with Martin Lawrence. Like, I mean, y'all make jokes, but I'm like, these wrestlers are popular. Like, people, like, they are popular. Like, I mean, wrestlers have always been popular to a certain level, but with the level of popularity that WWE has now, it's like, yes, they are treating them like big deals. And that's the best thing you do. You treat your stars like stars, other people treat them like stars, and it elevates everything. And they're getting elevated. It's kind of like, you know, that's why NXT got to keep doing what they're doing, because it's like, they're not going to be doing no Marine 6, no Marine 7, no. They're going to pop up in real movies. And, you know, work with that. I'm sure they have contingency plans, but in the meantime, enjoy what you have. And I want to wrap up with one last thing, because I did mention him a few times. I'm glad LA Knight is fighting Logan Paul, because it's like the battle of the assholes. It's just, that's exactly what that is.
Well, and this has seemed like the perfect spot for LA. LA Knight has been that guy where he has been super popular for a long time now. Hasn't gotten to capture a championship. Logan Paul, at this point, has held it long enough that, you know, you're not going to end up calling him a fluke. Seems like prime time for LA Knight to finally have a crowning achievement.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I always thought that was going to be the plan for WrestleMania, because it seemed like that was like the perfect spot, because it was like, you know, you want to make, want to have LA Knight have a WrestleMania moment, beating Logan Paul for the US title makes sense. Instead, they went with different directions with both of them. It worked out. Like, you know, he had a decent match with AJ Styles, and LA Knight had, and Logan Paul had a great match with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. But it's like, Logan Paul don't need a belt.
Oh, like, so, no.
And LA Knight kind of does at this point, because, like, yeah, you're popular, but, like, you know, yeah, he should have a title. Like, if he's not going to win the briefcase, he should be US champion.
And if he's not going to be head champion, and I don't really see that in the cards for him on SmackDown with Cody Rhodes being there right now.
Yeah, like,
you know, he needs the secondary championship. Like, that's going to be his ceiling for the time being.
And it's weird, because you bring up a good point. Like, Raw, they have a bunch of people where it's like, they don't have such a strong champion where you can't say that this person can be champion material, because it's like, they got plenty of people to be champion. SmackDown is Cody Rhodes.
Yep.
And it's going to be Cody Rhodes. So it's like, that U.S. title is going to mean more, because that is basically just, if you're not Cody Rhodes and you're not fighting Cody Rhodes, that's just chilling. Because if you fight Cody Rhodes, you ain't beating Cody Rhodes. And I'm wondering who's going to be Cody Rhodes. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a question that I'm not even remotely ready to answer.
If I was to guess, I would guess Gunther, but not this year.
I mean, you've got to get him across the brand one way or the other, whether through the Rumble or through other means.
Because,
well, I guess the draft really are the two choices.
Because, and we kind of knew that anyway. Yeah, they know they had someone with Gunther. Like, they are treating him like, yeah, you are next man up. And it's just wild, where it's kind of like, that seemed like that made more sense in the 80s. It makes sense now, but that's only happening because Triple H is in charge.
Oh.
And he earned it, and it makes sense, because it's kind of like, he's a heel that loves being a heel. And he doesn't get cheered. Like, he's one of those heels that doesn't get cheered but is respected.
Yes. That's a good summation.
Yeah. Like, he's a perfect heel. Like, basically, you know, he mocks the people that, like, you know, I'm glad you stepped up, Jey Uso. You know, you had your little dance. And, you know, Americans like doing them silly little dances. And now you're out here doing stuff by yourself. I appreciate that. You're not going to win, but I appreciate you trying.
Yeah, he's such a condescending asshole. But he doesn't like, he doesn't overdo it, I guess.
Like, he gives respect while still making fun of you, but it's like he can back up in the ring. And it also helps a conscience because Ludwig Kaiser is a prick. Like, a super prick. So it's like, oh, well, Gunther bad, but he ain't that bad. So it's like, it's a good contrast having him with Kaiser because Kaiser is also smaller and dressed a little sharper. So it's like, he's a lot more unlikable. So it's,
yeah, it's certainly an interesting dynamic. Like, I can't really recall a heel pairing with that kind of, you know, vibe to them.
Yeah, like the closest was Triple H and Randy Orton in Evolution, because it's kind of like people didn't like Triple H, but Triple H was at that point where it's like, you know, they respect him because he'd been doing it for a long time. Young Randy Orton, people could not stand. People could not stand that young. What you do when you was 23? Like, no, they did not like young Randy Orton until they started liking young Randy Orton. But that's a story for another day. Oh, and I got to shout out my man. Well, he ain't my man. Karrion Kross. I know they don't get a lot of crowd cheering or crowd emotion at all, but I would be remiss in saying he is doing a masterclass as far as character work, because every time he comes out, he just got this whole, you know, this New Day thing. You know, it's time for this to be over, right? Xavier, like, you could do a lot for your career. Why are you following Kofi around? Like, they ain't going to lead you nowhere. And it's wild where it's like, he basically sounds like people on Twitter.
It is interesting. Like, they're kind of, this is another one where, to me, this is a Vince move, but it takes on a better tact with how the way Triple H and his team approach it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, I feel like Vince loved to take stuff from real life and incorporate it into the wrestling, but it always felt like such a condescending thing.
It was heavy-handed when he did it.
Yeah, and this is not as heavy-handed.
No.
And it really works well. Like, because, yeah, like, Karrion Kross isn't overplaying it. He's not trying to be too snide about anything, but he's like, dude, like, come on. Like, you know that this is better for you.
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. So, no, as I was saying, now, Karrion Kross's whole thing is kind of like being insidious. Like, it's almost like a Sean O'Hare thing, but not as, like, cryptic, because it's like he's been feuding with people. And it's like, you know, you only feud with me because you don't know any better, but you could be a star. You're just being held back because, like, it started with Montez. It started with Montez Ford. And Montez Ford was cut. Like, and the funny thing is, the baby faces aren't being acted like they stupid. Like, they know what Karrion Kross is trying to do, and they calling out Karrion Kross while he's doing it. And Karrion Kross is like, I mean, you can call me out, but I ain't lying. And they dropping the seeds because it's kind of like, once, like, the thing with the New Day is like, it feel like it's like once Big E got hurt, and I know apparently he's out here getting stem cell treatment in Mexico. So,
yeah, that is very popular with the WWE crowd this week. Big E, MVP, and
shots. I mean, you see Rey Mysterio out here. He went from, I can't cross the street without blowing an ACL, to I went to Mexico and got stem cell treatment, and I've been wrestling fine for a decade.
And a half since
then. And a half. And it's like, I would have been there. I'm surprised Stone Cold didn't go down there, like, hit me with a shot to my neck. So, FDA approved my ass. Like, give me that good stuff. So, but him not being there is like the New Day was kind of like, you know, they were twiddling their thumbs. They were, you know, spinning their wheels. And Karrion Kross basically saying, you know, and it's funny how he's focusing on Xavier Woods. He's like, you know, Kofi had his time to shine. He had Kofi Mania. He had the belt. How come you had it, your time to shine? You just had King of the Ring. You know, you're not going to reach your potential because you're out here eating pancakes with Kofi Kingston. I just want you to do better for yourself. Ain't like, you're just trying to break us up. He's like, don't worry. By the time this match over, you won't have to follow him anymore. And they drop a little thing where Kofi got jumped, so he missed the hot tag. And it's not like Xavier blamed him, but at the same time, like, that little seed was planted. And it's like perfect where it's like long-term storyline.
Yeah, I guess with Big E seemingly not probably coming back, or at least anytime soon. I really don't know what else you do with those two. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I've argued for a while that you go with the non-breakup. But at this point, you almost need it. Like, just because it's been a duo for so long, like, has it been 3 years that Big E's been out? Like, it's kind of been a while.
At least I want to say 2 years, something like that. So, but it's just kind of like, and he seemed to be happy, found love. He does the pregame shows, and it's like, I think he had a point where, like, if I come back, that's great, but if I don't, I had a great career, so I don't have any regrets. Because it's like he reached the top of the mountain, so to speak, even if it was just a short time. And it's just a weird thing where it's like, it's nothing for Big E to prove, and there's nothing for Kofi to prove. Like, it makes sense to be Xavier Woods, because he's like, he has the most to prove. You know, he's been wrestling for a long time. Ooh. And it's like, he still has, and it's funny where he's wrestled for a long time, he still has like potential that's not met yet. So both things can be true. So it just works. And it's wild because, like, Montez Ford's kind of in the same boat. Not as much experience, but, like, if I keep hearing when the Montez Ford single push going to come, I'm going to lose my damn mind, because it's like, wild because it makes sense. But at the same time, you don't want to break up the Street Profits. And it's like, Angelo Dawkins is pretty good himself. And I think that gets kind of overshadowed because everybody focuses on Montez. I mean, rightfully so. Like, you see what Montez Ford can do, what he looks like. What Angelo Dawkins is no margin. Like, you know, it's like calling somebody Marginetti's an insult. You know, Marginetti was pretty damn good himself.
Yeah, if Marty Jannetty hadn't done himself no favors and gone half crazy post wrestling, like, he'd probably be looked at better.
Yeah, but that's always been a wild thing. You don't want me to marginate the group, and it's like, marginate issue was drugs, not skill. And, like, because he was addicted.
It really wasn't even charisma either.
Like, everybody assumed, like, the funny thing is people bring it up is kind of like, truth be told, he was the more charismatic one between him and Shawn Michaels during that time frame. Shawn just had the better look because he was blonde. Like, that's it. Like, I know what HBK became, but he wasn't always like that. And it's just wild. Like, in hindsight, of course, it makes sense. But back then, it's this kind of thing, like, it could have easily went differently. You know, especially considering the problems that Shawn Michaels himself had. Like, it's not like Shawn Michaels was the innocent one. Like, he just being corrupted by Marty Jannetty. We know how Shawn Michaels was getting down during that time frame. And it's just funny seeing how life works. You see where Marginetti is, unfortunately, and you see where Shawn Michaels is, and I don't think anybody would have guessed where Shawn Michaels turned out, like, basically being the woke godfather, like, basically Paul Heyman 2.0, the woke godfather of NXT, with his finger on the pulse and booking black people better than they've ever been booked in the history of professional wrestling and making it seem simple. Like, I have no idea how he does it. I mean, I know people got the jokes. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how he did it. I'm glad he did it. And it's kind of like, even more than Triple H, because Triple H is not, like, you know, he is more modern than Vince ever was, but he's not as modern as Shawn, which is wild because Shawn is older. But Shawn feel like he books younger.
I don't know. I mean, there's just a lot of people down there right now. Because, I mean, I guess I feel like I've seen a lot of, you know, there isn't a better time to be down in NXT. And they, like, or, you know, to get coached up. And they started rattling off the names. And, I mean, it is kind of a wild list of veteran wrestlers that, you know, you and I are familiar with, from Shane Helms to Jamie Noble.
Yeah.
Like, it is kind of wild.
They had CM Punk going down there on a regular basis. And it's like, it's a cheat code. Like, WWE is a cheat code where they basically have talent. Like, people talk about AEW budget, rightfully so, but it's like, WWE has experience. Like, people forget. One of the things that stand out is the ages. Like, Jason Jordan and Tyson Kidd are amazing at their damn jobs. And whenever you hear, like, you know, best segment is like, oh, you know, Jason Jordan booked this or Tyson Kidd put this match together. And it's like, you just have, you know, you had Norman Smiley's and the Finleys and Regals, and you just had names after names after names just go down there. And it's no mistake, and perfectly wrap up. I've been noticing, like, I'm not a big ratings person, but I have been noticing, and I don't know if you pay attention to the last few weeks, women seem to be in, like, the top spots on both shows. Because I know the last couple SmackDowns, and I think the last couple Raws, like, the top segments as far as rating-wise have been women's matches.
Yeah, and I think that was the other part of the whole Liv Morgan thing. It's just like, yeah, most top-rated segments this past week.
Yeah, top rated, most watched. And it's not just Liv Morgan, because it was kind of like, I think, like, Io Sky, Lyra Valkyria was the most watched match on Raw. And Jade Cargill and Nia Jax was the most watched match on SmackDown. And it's kind of like, they have all these different women that people just love. Like, shout out to Nia Jax. I can't remember a story where somebody left, didn't go wrestle somewhere else, comes back and is just like a whole lot better.
Yeah, it's wild what's happened with Nia Jax, honestly. Like complete, like, image rehab. It's another one where she kind of ran out of things to do because of the way you almost have to, you know, I mean, she's still stuck in that Andre the Giant, you know, Paul White, Giant, whatever, you know, situation where you're so much larger than all of the other athletes that you're going against that it's, you know, like, you've got to get creative about being away from the championship. And they've actually done that.
Yeah, it's mostly like banana peel losses. Like, she'll slip on a banana peel or she lose, like, I mean, the only people that's really beating her clean is like some like Rhea Ripley or Bianca Belair and it X-Men. Cause keep in mind, like, they book her great. Like, she was beating Becky Lynch clean and it didn't seem out of place. It's like, yeah, she should beat Becky Lynch. Like, Becky Lynch is great. It's a size difference. And they went, I know it's kind of like, see, people forget Nia Jax used to be a model. And it's like, yeah, she's, if a model was Big Van Vader, it's basically Nia Jax. Like, I still think about that match with Lyra Valkyria where I was surprised Lyra Valkyria didn't break her damn collarbone and every rib in her body. Like, that squat, that splash she took looks so damn painful. And it's like, no, you can count to 20. Lyra's not giving up, not getting up. No, they booked her perfectly. And it's like, it helps where she can bump against people that's like physically imposing. Where it's like, if you put in a ring with Jade Cargill, it's kind of like Clash of the Titans, where it's like, Jade can go toe to toe and it makes sense because it's unfair. Like, they got Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill and Rhea Ripley, and it's like, you know, and like, Charlotte used to be a one on one. They got like a zillion Charlottes now. And that's no offense to Charlotte, but it's kind of like, because you're like a Kiana James. Like, you laugh, I'm like, Kiana James is a hell of a damn athlete.
That to me was just my point on Twitter. Was just, it's a cold open. It's something that Chris and I have talked about too. Like, and you've even kind of referenced it during this podcast where NXT's just not watched as much as the main programs, period, end of sentence, you know? Like, there's no real room for argument there. So, I mean, I do feel like that's something that's still been a little bit of a disconnect. And also, again, to go back to Bron Breakker, something of a benefit for him. Like, that has helped introduce him. Like, him being a psycho has helped really, you know, introduce him. He doesn't have long talking segments. He doesn't need long talking segments.
No.
You know, and Kiana James just, I think they gave her one or two, like, video vignettes or something like that. Yeah. But, I mean, came out cold. Like, can it work out in the long run? Sure. Yeah. It should.
I think it has also been helped. Like, she started off like being like, is she gonna be Adam Pearce's assistant? Is she gonna basically be like Sonya Deville 2.0? And then she wrestles because, like, yeah, Sonya back out the damn blue, and it's kind of like she was this whole. She, it's weird where her looks doesn't match her wrestling. Like, she got this whole I'm a snooty rich secretary look, but she a power, like, she built like a linebacker. Like, yeah. She is a powerful, super athletic person that's just wild, where it's kind of like you don't think about it because they have so many damn athletic people that they just kind of blend in together, which is...
And that was the other one to me. Like, I don't remember her. Like, I remember her featuring the power in NXT, but there were some of those moves. Like, when she was doing some of the leapfrogs against Natalya, I'm like, hot damn, woman. Like, where did this part, you know, like, this aspect of the wrestling come from?
It's, I mean, it's there, but it's just wild because her look don't match. Like, her look is just so funny. It's kind of like, if like Stacy Keibler combined with Beth Phoenix, like, it don't make any damn sense. But it just, like, she's a super athlete that you can tell by looking at her shoulders and her legs, but her gimmick and her presentation doesn't match it. So when you see it as half, like, oh, I didn't know she could do that. It's like, yes, she can do. They have, she can do that. They all can. Like, they all can do that. And that is just so, like, I don't want to do the whole AEW-WWE comparison, but I'm like, yeah, I don't blame Mercedes to take that AEW money. And, like, I don't blame her at all, because it's like, be the big fish in the small pond, because, you know, you are the woman, and I'm sure they have great matches in WWE. I know damn well she's like, nah, I ain't getting kicked in the face by Jade Cargill. Y'all can have that. I ain't trying to keep up with these damn, because, like, the four horsewomen have been doing it for, like, over almost close to a decade. And it's like,
yep.
I just, like, yes, y'all were the best athletes when y'all came out. That was a long time ago. Yep. And that is no longer the case now. Like, you got women out here, like, somebody like Jasmine Nix out here is kind of like, she's not even that big on the totem pole. Y'all are not keeping up with that type of athletic skill with all that mileage on there. I can see why Becky Lynch is at home being a family man, so to speak. They're not being in a rush to do that. And I will just give a shout out for Kevin Tells what beer he drinking. Natalya, you don't have to be doing what you're doing. You are doing God's work.
Yeah, it is wild that, because that was another one where they had number of matches in WWE, mm-hmm. and Natalya was like third or fourth on the list.
Yes,
like, all people included.
Yeah, like I saw that list. Like, I saw, like, because Lola Vice was like fifth, and I was like, I think she was like the top person in NXT, and I was like, wow. I mean, I was surprised. Yeah, and it's just like, they like her, but it's like, yeah, Natalya be doing double duty, because she'll wrestle on Raw and then be at NXT. And it's like, you just like driving, huh? Like, it's just, she likes work. And I know people make fun of her talking about when she says she's the best of all time. I look at her like Cal Ripken. Like, she just been doing it for so long, just outlaw longevity. Like,
And I feel like the crowd reaction, like, even for me, like, I've gone from, oh my gosh, I'm tired of her, to, like, nah, she's just filling her role perfectly. And, like, what's there to complain about at this
point? She the Miz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in the mid, and it's like, we talked about a while ago, like, you hit a certain level, you become OG status. Like, we say, like, the Miz and Kofi Kingston, they just open, especially R-Truth. You've been doing it that long, and you're still doing it at a high level, you're going to get treated like the man. And it's like, basically, as far as women, it's Natalya, because it's like, she's been doing it longer than anybody else, and she's still doing it, and she still look great, and she can still go. And, like, the crowd knows that, and they respect that. So, and, like, she's out here trying to get a like, she has a perfect spot where if she challenges for a title, it don't seem out of place, but she don't need a belt. She don't need to do all that. She's just her.
Yep, just keep on wrestling matches. Like, everyone's always going to have respect for her.
And that's an awesome spot to have. And they're talking about, you know, her contract coming up. Like, what's she going to go? She going to go to AEW? Like, come on now. Like, she is, like, if anybody is a lifer there, her and Randy Orton are lifers. Like, they not going nowhere. Oh, is she going to go to TNA? Like, she might end up wrestling with TNA. They talk about she may show up at Slammiversary because it's in Montreal. So she might end up wrestling Jordynne Grace. And you're going to talk about Godzilla versus Kong. That's a that is a match right there. So she don't need to go to TNA to wrestle in TNA. So, oh, yeah. Right.
Yep. Just take advantage of the new forbidden door that's being opened between the WWE and TNA.
Wow. The forbidden door.
Oh, man. Well, you opened the door, and quite frankly, we've been talking long enough that I'm close to wanting to get rid of this bell time beer here. So, unfortunate circumstances led me to be in Hershey, Pennsylvania this past weekend, which is where Raw was this past week, too. One of the fine breweries out of there, and also one of the longer standing craft breweries in Pennsylvania, is out of Hershey, Tro's Independent Brewing. I got their Le Grave Triple Golden Ale bottle conditioned. This is fabulous. 8% alcohol, 31 IBUs. It is an Abbey style ale, so it is straight up a Belgian style ale, obviously conditioned in the bottle, so that gives it a little more aging, but I threw it straight in my fridge after bringing it home here to review. And yeah, Trogues is a very, very good brewery, so should one find themselves in Hershey, Pennsylvania, high level of suggestion, hit Trogues. What was it? The Double Graffiti was my favorite beer that I had while actually at said establishment. So, yeah, visit Trogues. They have very good food selection, too. So not just a good beer place, good food place, too. So that is the bell time beer suggestion from at DeFrango11. He is at Philly _ drugs. The brand is at Stunt Cranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or YouTube Music. Shahid, send us on out of here, sir.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and just like HBK, we are cooking. We are out.